This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Tailgate Tomei, part of the Believe Podcast Network. If you love college sports and you like to have a little action on the games, then this is the place for you, because I'm your host, Stephen Gorgi, and I love both of those things, too. Today is Tuesday, June 4th, and I'm excited to be back for another episode. And all throughout the month of June, I'm going to be doing some college hoops check-ins now that the NBA draft withdrawal deadline has passed, now that most of the players in the transfer portal are committed. I thought it would be a good time to check in conference by conference on which teams are trending up and which teams are trending down. Now, there are a few big-time transfers out there, and I'll definitely hit on that news as players commit. The biggest uncommitted player remaining, probably most impactful guy, is Coleman Hawkins from Illinois. He decided to come back to school. He will not be returning to Illinois, so somebody will be getting a big piece with him. But for the most part, most of these transfer portal guys are committed to their new school. Rosters are relatively set, so I want to dive into college hoops a little bit. I'm going to be going conference by conference throughout the month of June, and we'll start with the Big 12. And this week, I'll do the Big 12. Later in the week, I'll do the SEC, because these are the two conferences I think are the best, most interesting, and the leagues that are the deepest and probably chock full of the most national title contenders going into 2025. I think it's going to be interesting throughout the offseason and into the season to kind of determine and compare these two conferences, determine which one is better, which one is deeper, which one has more title contenders. But for my money, these are the two best and the two most interesting as we head into 2025. So let's dive into the Big 12. And how I'll do this is I'm going to talk about a couple teams, three teams that I think are trending up, three teams that I think are trending down. Now, to me, trending up simply means that if I was a fan of these schools, I would be excited for the 2025 season. I would be excited about the direction that this program is headed, that this team is headed as I look ahead to 2025. Trending down simply means the opposite of that. If I was a fan, and we've all been there, where, you know, you're thinking about your favorite team and you're just not dying for the season to start. Yeah, you're always going to be excited, but you have certain years where you're like, I can't wait for November to get here. I can't wait for college hoops to start. And you have other years where it's like, I hope the football season's good, because the longer that can go, the better when you think about your college hoops team. So that's how I'll do this, and that's how I'll do this for all the conferences. So let's start with three trending up. My first team trending up is the Kansas Jayhawks. And Kansas is coming off a disappointing 2024 season. They were 10-8 in the Big 12. They were tied for fifth. They earned a 4 seed, but they bailed out in the second round against Gonzaga. Gonzaga continued that incredible Sweet 16 streak. The Jayhawks finished number 27 in KenPom. Now, on its surface, all of that sounds pretty good, honestly, for most programs, but it's not good enough in Lawrence. The Big 12 went to 18 league games in 2012, and before last season, Kansas had never lost more than 6. In fact, they were averaging just under 4 league losses per year. They were essentially on average going 14-4 in the league every year. So 10-8 is disappointing in Lawrence. 10-8 is very disappointing when you have a guy like Hunter Dickinson on your team. I think Kansas went out and showed last year they will always be a big player in the transfer portal. Well, they went out and they backed that up again this year. The Jayhawks have made a splash in the transfer portal. They went out and they got Rylan Griffin, a wing from Alabama. They got AJ Storr, Wisconsin's leading scorer. They got Zeke Mayo, the Summit League Player of the Year a season ago from South Dakota State. They went out and they made an impact in the transfer portal. I think that's what you can expect from Kansas going forward. They've always been right there when it comes to high school recruiting. There's no reason to think after the past couple of seasons going out and getting Hunter Dickinson, now getting a big transfer haul this season, that it won't be the case in the transfer portal, because they've shown, Bill Self has shown, that Kansas program has shown, they are committed to acquiring talent, whether it's via high school recruiting or via the transfer portal. They also return Hunter Dickinson. They return their point guard, DeJuan Harris. They return KJ Adams. They return three starters from a season ago. So the Jayhawks come into 2025 as the number three team in the early T-rank projections. That's BartTorvik.com, analytics website, much like KenPom, that has college basketball projections. It's a fun site. You can do a lot of cool things on that site. I love to use it throughout the season. But they are number three in the early T-rank rankings. They are 10-1 to win the national title, right there as a co-favorite with UConn, also 10-1 on FanDuel. So Kansas is definitely trending the right direction. I mean, anytime you can bring back a senior point guard and a senior big together, like DeJuan Harris and Hunter Dickinson, who Hunter Dickinson got to be one of the early favorites for National Player of the Year. Anytime you can have a senior point guard experience guy like DeJuan Harris, that's a huge plus. That's going to put you way up there in those early rankings. Then they go out and they add their biggest issues a season ago. It was shooting the ball from the outside, and it was depth. Well, they addressed a ton of that with the transfer portal. Yes, they lost Johnny Furphy to the NBA draft. Yes, they lost Kevin McCullough, who, quite frankly, when he wasn't on the floor last year, they looked like a different team. But I mentioned the guys they got. Rylan Griffin, he from Alabama, who shot 39% from three on over five threes per game. Zeke Mayo, the Summit League Player of the Year, he also shot 39% from three on nearly seven threes a game. Now, I know Kansas fans, you might not be quite ready to pencil another mid-major, low-major guy into your lineup as a huge contributor after Nick Timberlake disappointed a bit a season ago, but the numbers look good for Zeke Mayo. He's done it at the level he played at, and it's always going to be a little bit of a crapshoot, but I just have the feeling that he's better equipped to compete in the Big 12 than Nick Timberlake was. And then you talk about a guy who's ready to compete, AJ Storr from Wisconsin. He led the Badgers in scoring a season ago. He did it in the Big 10. I mean, it's a little bit different than doing it in the Summit League. And Wisconsin earned a 5 seed last year. And AJ Storr, I mean, he put up some numbers. He put up some games where he was going for, you know, 30, 25, 28, and playing on a Wisconsin team that can be hard to do given the tempo that they play at. So he's the guy that's a little bit more of a scorer than a shooter, but he just gives them another dimension. They have all the pieces. I think my biggest question about this team is probably defensively how they're going to look. That would be the biggest question for me, but it's very clear this team is a national title contender, a Big 12 championship contender, and they are going to improve on what has to be considered one of Bill Self's worst seasons at Kansas. The fact that getting a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament is one of Bill Self's worst seasons at Kansas speaks volumes about how good that program is, but the expectations are high in Lawrence, and they're going to be even higher in 2025. My next team that's trending up, is the Iowa State Cyclones. And Iowa State had a fantastic season in 2024. They went 13-5 in the Big 12. They finished second behind only Houston. They won the Big 12 tournament championship, earned a 2 seed, and made it to the Sweet 16, where they lost to Illinois. They finished number 8 in KenPom nationally. It was an excellent season for Iowa State. And Iowa State is trending upwards, not just going into the 2025 season, but if you look back at what TJ Otzelberger has done since taking over for Steve Prohm 3 seasons ago, he's gone 11 seed, 6 seed, 2 seed over his 3 seasons. It's been clear, linear improvement. The offense has improved every year as well. Defense, you know, is always going to be there at Iowa State under TJ Otzelberger, but the offense has steadily, steadily improved. The offensive efficiency rankings over those 3 seasons have gone from 171 to 114 to 52 this past season. And you know what? When you consistently put up defenses in the top 10, being top 50 in offense can be enough. Now, I would like to see it go to another level if Iowa State is to really be a national title contender in 2025. And if you've been listening to this show, you know that I think they are, and I think it can go to another level. Heading into 2025, Iowa State is 30-1 to win the national title. I have a bet in on that already. I don't like to tie up my money on futures that take months and months and months to pay out, but this is one that I thought was worth investing in. You're not going to see me put in a bunch of national title bets in June that aren't going to get paid out till next April. Iowa State is one that I invested in. They're number 2 in T rank to start the season, or they're projected as number 2 right now. You know, that can certainly change as other transfer commitments happen over the course of the summer, if anything changes there. But right now, they are number 2 nationally in T rank. The biggest reason I think things are trending up to me is because they return Taman Lipsey, Keyshawn Gilbert, and Milan Momchilovic. Lipsey, their point guard, I think made one of the biggest jumps in the country from the 2023 to the 2024 season, and he was a huge part of the reason they improved offensively in 2024. He was first team all Big 12. His backcourt mate, Keyshawn Gilbert, was second team all Big 12. They have Curtis Jones coming off the bench as part of that backcourt, who was huge for them. And then I think Milan Momchilovic, who was part of a Big 12 all freshman team a season ago, has a chance to be a star. I love his game. He does so many things well. He's a big time player. He never backs down in clutch moments, and he had a fantastic freshman season. I think much like Taman Lipsey a season ago, Momchilovic has the potential to take a major jump in the 2025 season and be a first or second team all Big 12 kind of guy. I think Taman Lipsey could be an All-American this season. I love this backcourt. I love what they return. And they did lose some of the key pieces in their frontcourt, but I thought they did a really nice job of going out into the transfer portal and getting Joshua Jefferson from St. Mary's, Deshaun Jackson from Charlotte, two guys that I think will fit in nicely with this team. I really like this Iowa State team. If you're a Cyclones fan, you have to love the progression under Otzelberger. I mean, this is a program. This is a team that went 0-18 in Big 12 play in 2021, Steve Prohm's last season before Otzelberger took over. It's been nothing but trending up and to the right since then. I think things are going to continue trending up for Iowa State in 2025. And if I'm a Cyclones fan, I'm seriously thinking that this is a Final Four caliber team, a great shot for Iowa State to get to the Final Four. My last team that's trending up here, and I will have a couple honorable mentions because there are a lot of teams that I do like in this league, but I wanted to call out Cincinnati here. So much like Iowa State, things have been trending and progressing in a linear manner since Wes Miller took over this program a couple years ago. They've gone from KenPom 101 to 50 to 39 this past season. Now, the difference is they haven't made the NCAA tournament, which is a big deal, but I think this is the year where Bearcats fans should be excited and expecting to make the big dance. A season ago, they went 7-11. They tied for 11th in the conference. They were a bubble team for a lot of the year. They picked up some big wins over the course of the season, but they just were not quite good enough offensively. This year, they're 80-1 to win the national title per FanDuel. They're number 42 in T rank at this moment, but I like how much they bring back. They bring back a couple honorable mention, all Big 12 guys, and Dan Skillings and Aziz Banadego from a season ago. But what I really like about them is they bring back two point guards in Jizzle James and Day-Day Thomas. I love teams that have multiple point guards. It's almost a requirement to win a national championship. Now, I'm not saying Cincinnati is national championship good, but I absolutely think they're tournament good. One of their biggest challenges a season ago was shooting the ball from beyond the arc. Well, they largely, or they at least went out and made a significant effort to go and address that. They go and get Connor Hickman from Bradley to address that. Hickman shot 40% from beyond the arc on 6 attempts per game. They are recruiting pretty well. They land a top 50 guy in the class of 2024 in Tyler Betsy. He's a wing who shot 34% over 7 three-point attempts per game during EYBL play in the summer of 2023. That's the Nike AAU circuit, one of the best out there. And he's a guy who could come in and contribute. And, you know, much like Iowa State, under Wes Miller, defense has been the focus, and they finished in the top 20 in adjusted defensive efficiency a season ago. They need to take another step offensively, but you have to like the way this program is moving under Wes Miller. I think this is the year they break through and they get back to the big dance. Now, a couple other teams.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I have to just quickly mention when I talk about teams that are trending up. Baylor, I dedicated part of an episode to them. They have one of the most interesting rosters in the country with the combination of experience and transfers, Jeremy Roach and Norchad Omier, guys who transferred from Duke and Miami respectively, put their names in the NBA draft with Drew and will play for Scott Drew at Baylor next season. They also bring in some big time recruits. Scott Drew has always recruited well at Baylor. This year is no different, and they will be in contention for the Big 12 title. They will be in contention for a Final Four. The question with them, and they're 20-1 to win the national title, is can they get back to where they were defensively when they took home that title in 2021. Baylor has always been known under Scott Drew as a good defensive team, but particularly around that time, 2020, 2021, 2022, they were a top 25 defensive team in addition to being a top 20 offensive team. The last 2 years, they've been top 10 offensively, but they've struggled defensively. Now, when you're relying on a bunch of freshmen, it can be tough, and that will be the case. That will be the case this year as they bring in a big time recruiting class. But they also have these guys, these experienced guys, in Omier and Roach, who have been around the block. They don't have the greatest reputations defensively necessarily, but Omir is a great rebounder for sure, and that's going to be the big question for Baylor. There's no question that offensively they will be there. They will be able to get it done. There is too much talent on this team to not. But the question is going to be, what can they do defensively? Either way, if you're a Baylor Bears fan, you have to be excited just about retaining Scott Drew, keeping him away from Kentucky. Then you bring in this big-time recruiting class with VJ Edgecombe as the star of it, the number five player nationally, and you go out and you kill it in the transfer portal. It's an exciting time if you're a Baylor Bears fan. It's also an exciting time if you're a Houston Cougars fan, because Houston is now one of the most consistent programs in the country. They do lose Jamal Shedd, their star stud point guard from a season ago, but they are number one in these way early tier rank projections. Now, I don't know how much I can buy into that. I don't think you just replace a guy like Jamal Shedd, don't miss a beat, and go out and win a national championship. But that is, I think that speaks volumes about the kind of program that Kelvin Sampson has built at Houston. They are going on, let's see here, 4 years in a row, finishing in the top five of the KenPom rankings, 5, 6, 7 years in a row, finishing in the top 20. This is one of the most consistent programs in the country. It's exciting what they return with LJ Cryer and Emmanuel Sharp. Those are two guys that I had a ton of fun watching last season. But to me, Jamal Shedd was the guy that made everything go. I don't think you just replace a guy like that. They do bring in point guard Milos Uzan from Oklahoma. He's a guy who was a key contributor for Oklahoma last year. But I don't want to take anything away from Uzan, but it's hard to just replace Jamal Shedd. So if you're a Cougars fan, I think you got to be excited, but, you know, maybe temper expectations a little bit, because you lost a guy who was the best player on both ends of the court every time he took the court. Texas Tech is another team that I think I want to call out as a team that you should be excited about if you're a Red Raider. They're entering year two under Grant McCaslin, and they've been impressive as anyone in the transfer portal. They go out and they get Elijah Hawkins, the Minnesota transfer, JT Toppin from New Mexico, Fede Federico from Pitt. Rim protection was a huge need for them last season. They went out and they addressed that with Toppin and Federico. They got their point guard in Elijah Hawkins. And then they returned some really good shooters in Chance McMillan and Darian Williams. It'll be interesting to see if you're a Texas Tech fan, what Grant McCaslin can do in year two. The last team I want to call as an honorable mention trending up is West Virginia. And this is almost by default, because the whole Bob Huggins situation really tanked their last season. That, in addition to some eligibility issues with some guys a season ago who eventually did get cleared to play. Josh Eilert, their interim head coach, was put into an extremely difficult situation. He made the best of it. But now Darian DeVries, formerly Drake's head coach, takes over. They have added a lot in the transfer portal, including DeVries' son, Tucker DeVries, who has become kind of a household name for college basketball fans over the past couple of seasons. So I think almost by default, West Virginia has to be trending up from where they were a season ago when they went 9-23 overall, 4-14 in the Big 12, and finished 144 in KenPom. Okay, so who is trending down? A couple teams come to mind, and two, I kind of want to talk about together, because it's for pretty similar reasons. There are a lot of newcomers coming to the Big 12 this season. You have Colorado, you have Utah, you have Arizona and Arizona State, And Colorado and Utah are two teams that I think are trending the wrong direction as they enter the Big 12. Colorado was good a season ago. They went 13-7 in the Pac-12. They earned a 10 seed. They won a first four game. They won a first round game against Florida. And they bowed out in the second round against Marquette. Ultimately, they finished number 24 in KenPom. They had a good season. But as they enter the Big 12, a team that is much more talented than the Pac-12 was, they lose six of their top seven scorers from a season ago, including three guys in Cody Williams, Tristan Da Silva, and KJ Simpson, who are all currently projected as first-round draft picks by the Ringer's Kevin O'Connor. And what they did to replace these guys, I don't think is nearly enough. They don't have any top 50 prospects coming in when you look at high school recruiting. And then when you look at their transfer haul, they brought in three guys. One guy, Trevor Baskin, is a Division II transfer. Another guy, a center, Elijah Malone, is an NAIA transfer. The third is a transfer from Washington State. That seems a little more suitable. But I have major concerns about a D2 transfer and an NAIA transfer being asked to immediately step in to this lineup and compete in the Big 12 on a night-in and night-out basis. I think Colorado lost a ton from a very good team. They didn't replace it with enough. And if you're a Buffs fan, you got to hope that this year with Deion Sanders and Shedeur Sanders provides a little bit of excitement that can carry you into that early part of basketball season, because I think the Buffs are going to have a tough go of it in their first season in the Big 12. I view Utah very similarly. Utah had a decent season by Utah standards. They didn't make the tournament, but they tied for sixth in the Pac-12. They went 9-11. They were top 50 in KenPom at number 48. And it kind of felt like with Utah last year, to me, like they had improved over the 2023 season. They had some good building blocks. They finished number 75 in KenPom in 2023, up to number 48 in 2024. They had some guys in Brandon Carlson, their big man, who was really effective. Davon Smith, their point guard, was really effective. They beat Colorado. They had some, looks like they were very tough at home a season ago. They struggled mightily on the road, but they were a decent basketball team. The problem for Utah is they now move into a much better league and they lose those two guys I just mentioned. They lose Davon Smith to St. John's. He was rated as a number 13 transfer per 24/7. He was their third leading scorer, their leading assist guy, and now he is going to be playing for Rick Pitino. He's a guy they definitely could have used as they entered the Big 12. And Brandon Carlson out of eligibility. He was their leading scorer. He was first team all Pac-12. And now they're going to ask Lawson Lovering, another 7-footer, to pick up the slack. But he just hasn't shown that same offensive ability. They in the transfer portal, they go out and they do get an intriguing prospect in Miro Little, who was a top 50 prospect in the class of 2023, went to Baylor, didn't play much a season ago. So, you know, it's possible. Could he regain some of that? Could he take a step forward and kind of emerge as the prospect that everyone thought he was coming out of high school? Yeah, it's very possible. I just don't like how much they lost going into a league that is much more talented, much more physical than the Pac-12. So Colorado and Utah are both trending down for me. My last team that's trending down is the TCU Horned Frogs. Now, before I dive too deep into this, I want to make some clarifying comments, because Jamie Dixon has done an outstanding job at TCU. Before the Horned Frogs made the tournament in 2018 under Dixon, they hadn't made an NCAA tournament since 1998. So let's not go overboard with expectations for a team that's now made the tournament 3 years in a row. Over the course of TCU basketball history, this is a fantastic stretch. They have done great. A season ago, they got a 9 seed. They did lose in the first round to Utah State. But again, 3 tournaments in a row is not really something that's happened all too frequently in the history of TCU basketball. Before 2018, they hadn't made the tournament since 1998. So I just want to set that expectation right now. Jamie Dixon has done a fantastic job. This program is worlds better than when he got here. But it felt like last season, they brought in a ton of transfers. They were kind of set up for this one-year run. They go out and they get Avery Anderson, Jameer Nelson Jr., Emmanuel Miller, Micah Peavy. Emmanuel Miller actually, I think, didn't transfer in. Emmanuel Miller was there, I believe. Yeah, he was there. They got him as a transfer a couple years earlier from Texas A&M. But they go out and they get a bunch of transfers to add to Emmanuel Miller. And they had their moments where they looked excellent. But ultimately, they were an inconsistent squad that ended up as a 9 seed. And in a lot of ways, they looked like a team that was trying to figure each other out throughout the season. And it looks like they're going to go do that again. In their projected starting lineup, they looks like they're going to have probably 4 transfers. They return just 9.1% of minutes from a season ago. Only West Virginia has less in the Big 12, and they don't return a single player who averaged over 5.5 points with TCU last season. Their leading returning scorer, who was on the team last year, is their big man, Ernest Uday, who scored 4.3 points per game. I just don't know how successful, how likely it is that you can turn your roster over to that extent year in and year out and continue to be successful. Now, maybe Jamie Dixon will prove me wrong. Jamie Dixon has proved a lot of people wrong over the years that he's been at TCU. I mean, I've talked about the way that he's elevated this program. But if you're looking for the TCU team from 2023 that got a 6 seed in the NCAA tournament, that was on the verge of going to a Sweet 16, they fall in a second round game to Gonzaga. They were one of the most fun teams to watch in the country that season. They got up and down the court, and they'll continue to get up and down the court. But that team seemed like a team that was on the verge of really being a second weekend team, possibly a contender in the Big 12. I just think when you're turning the roster over at the rate TCU is right now, I think it's going to be challenging. And that's why I have them trending down a little bit. When you have all the talent and the elite teams that you do at the top of the league, I think things can possibly turn bad quickly when you have a team that really needs to come together. So for now, I have TCU as a team that is trending in the wrong direction. That's your Big 12 June check-in. I can't wait to watch this league. You know, this league is huge now. It has 16 teams. I think I touched on about 9 or 10 of them today. I didn't even touch on Arizona, a team that's really interesting with Caleb Love coming back. I didn't even touch on Kansas State and what they're doing under Jerome Tang after a disappointing sophomore campaign by him and his team after such a fantastic year one where they go to the Elite Eight and they're one of the teams that I'll always remember that 2023 NCAA tournament for. Marquise Noel, to me, was one of the stories of that 2023 tournament. I didn't even have a chance to talk about those teams because this league is so big. There's a lot to look forward to in the Big 12 in 2025. Up next this week, I'll be talking some SEC, so make sure you stay tuned. And until next time, keep the grill hot and the cooler cold.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.